now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan joins Press Row. This segment of Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Test drive your dream vehicle today at 2136 Chapman Road. Kia of Chattanooga.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show here in the Action247.com studio. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. And the golden oldies can only mean that the College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan is joining us in this segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road. Whatever you need, they've got the Soul, the Optima, the Sorento, the Telluride, the Sportage. I mean, all those are incredibly high-selling, fast-moving vehicles, and they have all of them. Call 423-855-1022. Again, Kia of Chattanooga, and we certainly appreciate their support. Coach, how are you this week?
Doing good. You know, I was riding in a Kia yesterday. My daughter was in here to see her mother, and just smooth as a baby's ankles riding down the road. I really liked it.
All right, let's talk about the big one last weekend, Georgia Tech, Florida State. What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, that was some of the best field goal kicking and protection I've ever seen. Can you believe you had four? Would they have three or four blocked and still won the game?
Right.
I got to give old Collins credit, though. I mean, he took that freshman quarterback in there, and if he had been playing for Florida State would have beaten him. But the kids just made a lot of good plays, and you got to give them credit. I mean, Tech's made some marked improvements since last year.
And what do you make of Florida State? I mean, this was a program that, you know, for years, I guess, from 1987 to 2000, they had those 14 straight years of top four finishes, a couple of national championships in there. You know, they go to Atlanta in 2017 to Mercedes-Benz to face Alabama in that Chick-fil-A kickoff game, and they're 18-21 since. I mean, it's just amazing that I used to argue, Coach, that that's as good of a job as there is in the country when you consider the talent base, where, you know, the route that they can use to get to the playoff. Of course, Clemson's made that incredibly more difficult. But, I mean, that used to be as good of a job as there was in the country.
Yeah, that's why Bobby Bowden decided to stay and go to the ACC instead of the SEC. And Jimbo Fisher had it humming. I remember 2017. Right before that game, I went down there to speak to the Tallahassee Touchdown Club. One of my old quarterbacks asked me to come down there, Gary Huff, and I watched them practice, and I texted Kirk Herbstreit. I said, really, this team's really got it all. And then they didn't look that great against – I think the quarterback got hurt against Alabama, and then they got really – destroyed by Louisville a couple of weeks later and haven't been the same since. You know, they're a quarterback away from being a lot more competitive. For some reason, the kid had, I don't know, maybe just had a bad game, but they had guys running down the field with blinker lights on the other day and they couldn't hit them. I mean, that guy couldn't hit the ocean if he was in a rowboat.
And it's just an interesting deal. You would think a quarterback would want to go to Florida State, and it's a situation where I know some people want to put the blame on Jimbo with the way the situation ended with him there. Some want to blame Taggart. I know Taggart didn't recruit quarterback while he was there, but, you know, it's just weird seeing a program of that magnitude without a quarterback, and they really hadn't an offensive line for forever either.
Yeah, I think that's where all the trouble started, was the offensive line the year after Jimbo left. You know, he didn't take his line coach with him out to A&M. And then, you know, Coach Trickett been with him forever. And he's always been an offensive line guru, and those kids reacted well to him. And they had three or four offensive line coaches in the last 4 years, and not to mention three head coaches. So no continuity. As you mentioned, though, it's a good job. I mean, I was down there for a couple of years when I was a younger guy, maybe a little bit younger than Jay is right now, but I was there in the early 70s, and just a tremendous support base, and their facilities are really good now too. So I don't understand it really, but I think Norvell's a good coach, and he'll get it remedied.
Now, were you there before or after that 0-11 year? Didn't they go 0-11 one of those years?
Yeah, I mean, I was part of that.
You were?
That was the only time. Yeah, we had a great year my first year, and then we had some quarterback problems. But no excuses, but I've never seen a team where the whole fall camp, it rained every day, and we never got any practice in. I mean, we were terrible. First game, we lost on the last play of the game in Wake Forest. We lost on the last play of the game four games out of the first seven or eight. And just kids kind of quit, and the coaches didn't do a good enough job. But makes you happy when you get on a winning team, I promise you that.
You touched on the special teams, and who knows? I don't know if it's the way this whole preseason's set up, but you know, you saw some special teams woes in the NFL too, especially with the Tennessee Titans in that late Monday night game. But you touched on Tech FSU. I remember when you got hired at Georgia, you brought up the fact that a special teams plays every five or six plays in a game is a special teams play, and you always stress the importance of that. It's just wild to see how bad it's been out of the gate this year.
Yeah, hey, statistically, it's one out of every six plays, some type of kick. But, you know, you got the issue of how much contact can you really take a chance on with all these soft tissue issues and kids pulling hamstrings and Achilles and all that. And just a lot of poor tackling, no question about it, and poor coverage.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. You're listening to Coach here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Coach, what was your big picture takeaway from the Big Ten's reversal of field this week and now announcing they're going to come back next month?
Well, first of all, you're happy for the kids that got their senior year taken away from them or whoever, you know, you're happy about that, but at the same time, you're glad that they were able to figure out what to do. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but it's obvious that they had concerns. So if they seem to have settled those a little bit. So I'm really happy that they're going to be able to play. And it just doesn't seem right to not have everybody playing. If, you know, it's either all of us should be in or all out.
I kind of share that same point of view, Coach. You made me wonder something I don't think I've ever asked you. You said you're not a doctor. If you hadn't been a football coach, what do you think you would have done for a living?
I would have probably been working up there at your station because you need a lot of help up there.
Well, we could always use a Hall of Famer now.
No, I'll tell you, since we're busting everybody, and nobody knew that I was on an 0-11 team, but David had to ask me. One of the biggest decisions I ever made right out of college was to go into college coaching, and because my head coach offered me a job. And at the same time, I had a job. You know, I went to NC State, and it's a good textile school. And because of my tennis background, a couple guys up there had offered me a job in the textile business up there, and the first one was a guy doing double knit fabric, which had just been introduced, you know, which I know you understand about that. And one of my great, great statements to my wife was, I don't think that double knit will ever make it. So I went and became a coach. So that was pretty poor planning by me, but I've enjoyed coaching ever since.
Well, you were dag-nabbing great at it. There's no doubt about it. What do you do on a weekend like this where the games we all want to see are a weekend away and we're just kind of on – does it feel like the last week of the preseason in some ways?
Well, you know, because of us being here, you know, we feel like it because of the buildup, and they start game week next week. But, you know, everybody just always kind of remembers that everybody starts pretty much the same time around – week before Labor Day or Labor Day. So I'm just glad we're going to finally have some SEC football. I'm really not worried about what we've missed so far, but I'm just telling you, man, this is going to be an unbelievable year how people handle it, because I guarantee they're, you know, just like today, Charlotte called off their game with UNC because they had so many kids that couldn't play. And we're going to see that. We're going to see injuries. We're going to see a lot of ups and downs. But hopefully they've learned a lot about it, and the NFL's setting the standards with the testing and everything. And we'll be able to have as many games as we can.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Not a great day for the Big 12. How much did that surprise you, the Sun Belt going 3-0 against the Big 12?
Well, I was really surprised Iowa State lost because everybody's been talking about it. But then I looked up, and the guys had a terrible record in September. Part of that's because he plays against Iowa every year, but then he always comes along good at the end of the year. But Billy Napier has done a good job. He's got some good transfers in there to ULL, and I never will forget. I did a game down there at ULL, and they asked me before the game if I'd go over there to the tailgate that this one place was sponsoring that had the hot sauce, Tabasco sauce. They're trying to get them to give them some money to the school, and said, "Coach, could you just go over there and talk to them a little bit?" So I went over there and talked to the owner of Tabasco and told him I knew the coach and everything, and tried to talk it up. And then I ate about every kind of Tabasco sauce sample there was, and I promise you, I couldn't hardly talk during the game. I could hardly talk. It was so bad. I mean, the ULL got a special place in my stomach, that's for sure.
All right, I got to ask about Georgia. Kirby Smart, a couple of nights ago on a Zoom call, saying that it could be a game-time decision as far as the quarterback. JT Daniels, Dwan Mathis. Of course, JT Daniels has not officially been cleared to play in a tackle football game, but just kind of your thoughts on that.
Well, his last name is Smart, and I think he is smart here because you can't work a guy that's not cleared. I mean, you got to get your team ready. And obviously he hasn't been cleared. And from everything I've read about and heard about around here, I haven't been around there much because you can't get around. Nobody's allowed to with the COVID, which it should be. But I think Dwan's going to be the quarterback. I mean, he's got to be. I mean, Daniel's not ready. So I'm happy about Dwan, though. I think we're going to present an interesting dynamic that you haven't seen from Georgia in a long time. This guy's among the fastest, maybe 10 players on our team. He's 6'6". He got a rocket arm. And he's, everybody's talking about Daniels because he's been around and played. But I'm telling you right now, James Brown on Dwan Mathis, I feel good.
And boy, will that be one of the best stories in college football. A guy who had surgery in the spring of 2019 to have a cyst removed from his brain, lost a ton of weight, was never cleared last year, just ran scout team. But of course, he must have, and Kirby points this out constantly, he must have, obviously benefited from that. When you face the nation's number one scoring defense in scout team practice every day, that had to be pretty beneficial for him.
Certainly made him better. But the other thing is to study other quarterbacks, watch what they do, watch the tapes of other teams. You learn a lot being a redshirt quarterback. I tell you, the thing that Dwan has is he's got the pure acceptance by the players because they know what he went through. They know how hard he worked. And just like you said, people want to pull for guys that have come off the deck like that. But he's earned their respect by the way he's worked and rehab. And that means a lot. Sometimes the quarterback might not have to run exactly the same right play, might not do everything perfect. That's what Jake Fromm had going for him. The kids had a tremendous belief in him. They thought whatever he did was going to be the right thing. And I think they got the same way and feeling about Dwan. And certainly they can develop that with JT Daniels. But he's only been, they only met the kid when practice started because he just got here. So you have to earn that over a few months.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk. I got a couple more questions for you. Then we're going to get into some of the things this week. We'll see if you have any picks or not. Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, joining us. This segment has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road. Call 423-855-1022. Back with more with Jim Donnan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
This segment of Press Row has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, award-winning vehicles and courteous, honest service. Kia of Chattanooga. Former UGA head football coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan is back on Press Row. Presented by Kia of Cleveland. Browse Kia's award-winning lineup of vehicles at kiaofcleveland.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Paschal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show as we welcome back in the College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. This segment brought to you by Kia of Cleveland, 2492 South Lee Highway, 423-693-0505. Whether it's a Soul, Optima, Sorento, Sportage, Telluride, Kia of Cleveland has you covered. Again, 423-693-0505. 0505. Coach, as we welcome you back in, there was news last night where Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri and Nick Saban at Alabama each had news conferences. Nick Saban said that everything's fine with his team on the COVID front, that he doesn't know of anybody that might miss the opener unless it's Christian Barmore on the defensive line with a minor knee injury. Eli Drinkwitz, meanwhile, announced that 12 players would be missing the opener due to either positive test or COVID contact tracing. Just kind of curious, in this day and age, if you put yourself back in the head coaching role, would you want to release COVID information or just kind of keep that private?
Well, his brother must be a bookie or something. He's trying to help him out. I don't know. I've never heard of that, being showing that kind of disclosure there, but maybe, you know, I don't know what he's doing. It's obvious they got the bad the Arkansas and Missouri picked up some bad games here in these new games. But, you know, Nick's not going to ever tell you anything. So he could have five or six that aren't going to play. But, you know, I wouldn't tell them that I had 12 out, that's for sure.
And I don't know if you saw, but the line since last night has jumped from Alabama minus 23 to Alabama minus 25.5. So, and it was funny because Saban was asked about, would you disclose the info? And he's like, look, I don't know which 12 players are out. And that's right. I mean, Drinkwitz didn't specify. I mean, we're talking about rosters of 120 people. We don't know if they're starters or scout team guys.
Well, that's true. But it's not going to make any difference. I mean, that's going to be an ugly game.
Hey, because if the line went up to 25.5, it needs to be closer to 35, doesn't it?
You're talking about first half or game?
You nailed it, Coach. You nailed it. Hey, I had a big picture question for you, because Yahoo's like David and me in the newspaper, and when we have a microphone in front of us, say something kind of frequently about teams improve the most from week one to week two. You've seen that up close for a Hall of Fame career. Is that accurate?
You know, I think sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. I think where it really helps you, if your team's really good and they've been reading the mail so much and listening to everybody, that sometimes they get knocked around the first game and it takes a reality feel for them. But if your team's not very good, it's not going to make any difference. You're not going to make any improvement much. You can't trade for any players. So
right.
I think where it really helps you is when your team is a little bit overconfident, you can do that. Plus, you can make some adjustments in some things that, you know, you probably thought that so-and-so is going to be a better special teams guy than he was. And so you take him out and put a faster guy in, or a guy you thought was really going to be good at catching punts really misses a couple. So just for guys that haven't played, you can see more improvement from one to two.
All right, now a big chunk of your Hall of Fame career was spent at Marshall. How big of an opportunity is it for that program? And I know it's not going to be the 3:30 CBS game that's the SEC main feature, but Marshall App State, that's good. That's one that's probably got a whole lot of your attention this weekend, right?
Well, that's a huge rivalry for the teams. Back in when you used to have the 1AA, that was the game every year. And App State had a tremendous coach in Jerry Moore, and they ended up, after we left, in the early 90s, you know, we saw they beat, late 90s, they ended up beating Michigan and won several national championships in a row. And interesting paradox here is the offensive coordinator for Appy this year is Tony Peterson, a guy that coached for me and played quarterback at Marshall. So he's coming home to play against the Herd. And I'm surprised they're favored over the Herd there at Marshall because it's hard to play up there. But, you know, it's a little bit different now without all the fans screaming and everything. But Marshall really impressed me with that young quarterback. That guy never even played before, but he looked good. Of course, he's playing against Eastern Kentucky. But that's a big game. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Don't you mean that back in the day, the winner of the App State Marshall game would challenge UTC for SoCon supremacy?
Not really, but UTC pulled a couple upsets over the years, though. I mean, I had a terrible loss up there at Chamberlain Field.
Didn't you call that the Chamber of Horrors?
Yeah, they had they lined up old the wide receiver, the great one. What was his name? Owens.
Yes.
Terrell Owens.
And one of our corners didn't even line up on him. And he almost broke his neck trying to get the quarterback's attention. And they threw it out to him, and they scored. That's one of those plays you remember every night the rest of your life because we did a good job on him. But Coach West and their team, they came through and beat us as an upset. We still were in the playoffs and everything, but bad loss for us.
Of course, Chamberlain Field's one of the only places that had one corner of the end zone that would curve up.
And was 99 yards long. We're the only team that I've ever seen that got a kickoff, caught the ball in the end zone, and the ball was put on the 20 because we couldn't run it out. We ran the ball to the 30, and the ball was on the line, and they took the chains, and we didn't make the first down. And they measured the field after the game, and it was 99 3/4 long. So that's the only time I ever made a first down. Didn't make a first down when you went from the 20 to the 30.
All right. Do you have any picks?
You can't make this stuff up, man. You can't make it up.
I know. Right. Great stuff. Great stuff. Do you have any games that you like this weekend?
You know, I haven't really studied them much, but I think Central Florida against Georgia Tech. I think I like Central Florida. They got a really good quarterback, and, you know, Tech playing at home, but they're playing with their usual crowd, though. You know, they're not going to have anybody there, so we'll see. But I think Central Florida is a good pick. And I read your boy Jay's picks. He's really going out on a limb on those ones that he's picked. But how'd you do last week, Jay?
I went 3-2 against the number. Did you, Coach, start to break out in a little bit of a rash after you gave Coach Collins a compliment in the first segment? You had to come back and say they're playing in front of their regular crowd.
I didn't want to give him anything, but I like Coach Collins. I think he's a good coach, and he'll get that system in over there. But I think they're going against a really good Central Florida team. I mean, Central Florida's got a lot of good players.
Well, listen, Coach, great stuff as always, and I'm already looking forward to next week because next week we can actually talk about SEC matchups that are literally just hours and hours away.
No question, and really want to thank Key of Cleveland for joining in and helping us with his show, too. And it's just we had three shows here that they helped us out have before the season started to kind of get everybody's mouth watering a little bit. But now we'll be able to talk some real ball next week and looking forward to it.
That sounds great. Great job as always, Coach. Thank you. Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer. This segment brought to you by Kia of Cleveland, 2492 South Lee Highway.
This segment of Press Row has been made possible by Kia of Cleveland, where they can help with any automotive needs you may have. 2492 South Lee Highway, Kia of Cleveland.